The other morning, seven men got together. I was one of the seven, and our whole thing was just to take Psalm 96 and just kind of chew on it together and make some observations. And the 96th Psalm begins this way. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. I mean, we read through the Psalm and it was a rich Psalm in every way, but you can't miss when we said, what are some observations? One of the first things that one of the guys said was, sing, sing, sing.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today, we'll take a break from our series in Genesis for some daily devotionals that Pastor Scott has been recording for the church. They've been an encouragement to the church during this unusual time, and it's our hope they will encourage you as well. We invite you now to listen in as we get started.
The other morning, seven men got together. I was one of the seven, and our whole thing was just to take Psalm 96 and just kind of chew on it together and make some observations. And the 96th Psalm begins this way. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. I mean, we read through the Psalm, and it was a rich Psalm in every way, but you can't miss when we said, what are some observations? One of the first things that one of the guys said was, sing, sing, sing. I mean, he repeats it three times. The Bible regularly says, sing. And the psalmist regularly says, I will sing. Of the seven of us, two of us had this psalm trigger childhood songs that we had learned from our parents. We were blessed to be raised by godly parents. And I want to encourage you, men and women, mothers and dads, to teach your kids to sing. My brother, in the group, he said, wow, he said, this just brought me back to a song I learned. And he's Ukrainian. He speaks perfect English. But he said, I knew this song back from my childhood. And he said it was a different place. It was a different time. It was a different language. But he found himself singing a childhood song of praise. And I was kind of surprised because the same thing had happened to me. Not in Ukrainian, but the same thing had happened to me. Sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Three times he says sing, and three times he says sing to the Lord. To the Lord. To the Lord. It is the Lord who died for me. It is the Lord who set me free. It is the Lord who paid my penalty on the cross of Calvary. It is the Lord who rose again to give me life and liberty, and I will praise his matchless name through all eternity. That's the song that came into my heart as I was exhorted by the 96th Psalm to sing to the Lord. A song I'd learned years ago, I'd almost forgotten it, but I hadn't forgotten it. There's something about singing to the Lord. Obviously, the Lord loves to be sung to, else the Psalms wouldn't say, sing, sing, sing. And the psalmist wouldn't say, I will sing. Let me encourage you today to lift up your voice and sing to the Lord a new song. Yesterday I mentioned, sing to the Lord a new song. The 96th Psalm starts with a threefold exhortation. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. And I mentioned that obviously the Lord loves to be sung to. And we love to sing. We who've met the Lord and have experienced his redemption, we love to proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Men, I want to particularly encourage you to sing to the Lord. Teach your kids to sing to the Lord. Teach them by example. I was raised by a dad who sang out with gusto in church, and he would often sing at other times in our daily experience, and it made me want to sing to the Lord. And the scripture says we ought to. There's something about singing to the Lord that just lifts our heart and focuses us on the one who is praiseworthy and worthy of our songs. So sing to the Lord a new song. By the way, he says that repeatedly in the scripture too. Sing to the Lord a new song. I love that new songs are being written. Wherever there's health in the church, there's going to be a desire to sing praises to him, and new songs are written. But you know, I'm not sure he really means that when he says, sing to the Lord a new song, that we have to write a new song every time. Not at all. But it is a sign of health in the church when there are new songs being written, and I thrill at many of the great worship songs being written today. But I rather think he says, sing to the Lord a new song. And I told you I sang a song about the Lord. It is the Lord who died for me. It is the Lord who set me free. It's an old song. I learned it when I was a kid. But it's new every morning. When you begin to sing an old song, it becomes new when you're fresh in the Lord. So when he says sing a new song, you don't have to go find a new song. You can sing an old song, but sing it with new joy and new freshness. Sing to the Lord a new song today. Good morning. Have you ever noticed how we tend to pray more when we sense our need more? In times of stress, I tend to pray. Times of anxiety, times of loneliness, times of danger, when we sense our need, needy ones call out to the Lord. The 86th Psalm, David said this, "Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am afflicted and needy." I got a communique from a brother in India, dear brother in Christ, and he wrote me this, and they're under the same situation we are. They're in a lockdown, a quarantine type of situation, and he wrote me, "There is a revival of prayer sweeping across the nation here," speaking of India, "here in our nation among the believers." And I had told him the same, we were experiencing the same thing. Our prayer meetings have doubled, and there's many more gatherings of prayer. And I know personal prayer, I think we're all sensing our dependence on the Lord. And it's such a joy to know that he hears prayer. He hears prayer. This morning, at elders' meeting, we gathered, and I should say virtually, I guess. We were on a Zoom meeting, but I'm getting so used to that, that it was like we were just in the room together. And one of the elders quoted Psalm 86, this psalm that I just read the first verse to. He quoted verse 7. "In the day of my trouble, I shall call upon you, for you will answer me." The Psalms often talk about the day of trouble. And this one, David says, in the day of my trouble, my personal trouble, in the day of my trouble, whether it be health, financial, marital, unexpected difficulties, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon you. That's the right response. David was a man after God's heart, and he said, in the day of my trouble, I'm going to call upon you, for you will answer me. Isn't it good to know that the Lord hears our prayers? We're not just speaking into the ether. We're not merely trying to encourage ourselves. We're speaking to the Lord God Almighty. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me. No wonder, down in verse 12, David says this, "I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with all my heart." It reminds me of the New Testament exhortation. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. This morning, no matter what your circumstance, are you suffering? Pray. Are you cheerful? Let him sing praises. Go to the Lord with it. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am afflicted and needy. Take a look at that 86th Psalm. It's a great psalm, and it encourages us that in the day of our trouble, we can call upon him. A while back, I had the chance to take my little grandson on a walk, and we're going to go on quite a walk for him. I was going to take him through our neighborhood and into this woods, and he was looking forward to it, and I was too. And as we just started down the street, we turned the corner and we were on the downhill, and he did what young toddlers will do. He ran ahead and he was just running full speed, and he tripped and went down just like flat out, you know. And I thought, oh man, I fully expected to see bloody teeth, you know, because he went down. But thankfully he caught himself on his hands and he was crying, but it was just his hands and it really wasn't that bad of a fall. I was relieved and I said, hey, you're doing okay. And so he was able to keep going, but I noticed it was a little bit cold and he put his hands in his pockets. And I thought, well, that's good. And then he kind of cheered up. And as we got into the woods, he began to just enjoy himself and forget all about it. But he fell headlong, and I'm thankful that he caught himself by the hands. I've been looking over the 37th Psalm, and you know, it's such a great psalm, and I want to just remind you that it starts, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. Rest in the Lord." And I just glanced through the psalm, and there's so many exhortations to rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger. And it goes on like that. And then verse 23 and 24. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he shall not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. You know, when you're walking with the Lord, holding his hand, you'll fall. There's times when we stumble. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone doesn't stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, James says. But when we're walking with the Lord, if we stumble, we don't fall headlong. When he falls, he shall not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. What a great picture of how the Lord takes care of us. And yeah, we hit times in life when we stumble, but if you're hanging on to his hand, if he's got your hand, that's a better way to say it. The Lord is the one who holds his hand. That's the way David says it, because David stumbled just like you and I do. But he said, you know, when you fall, you won't be hurled headlong. It's great to know our Savior and to know that he holds our hand. Our Lord Jesus Christ spoke like no man ever spoke. His teaching is recognized worldwide as profound and amazing in every sense of the word. He used simple thoughts and said profound truths. In his probably most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, we call it, he said this in Matthew 6, verse 26, "Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they?" Look at the birds of the air. Just look at them, observe them. He says later in Matthew 10, verse 29, he says, you know, not one sparrow falls to the earth without the notice of your heavenly Father. Just look at the birds and you notice so much about our God. And it's so good for us to do that. During these days of lockdown, I have noticed that things are quieter. There's less traffic. And I've noticed in several, I would just repeatedly when I've gathered to pray, usually on Zoom or some such way, but, you know, as we've gathered without gathering, so to speak, brothers and sisters in Christ have said, I was listening to the birds this morning. Jesus said, look at the birds. I would add, listen to the birds. One morning I was out on my deck with my laptop, ready to Zoom, and I Zoomed into a prayer meeting we were having, and someone said, oh, don't turn your microphone off. And they were listening to the birds chirping as I was sitting there quietly, ready to pray. Listen to the birds. They're not nervous about the virus. They're not worried. They're giving praise to God. And I encourage you today to look at the birds. Your Heavenly Father takes care of birds. He'll certainly take care of you. Listen to the birds. They trust Him. They don't bother storing up in barns and building great storehouses. No, your Father feeds them. Listen to them cheerfully sing. Why did He give them those varied voices, I wonder? One reason for sure is that we can hear their cheerful songs and realize our Heavenly Father is well worth trusting. Praise Him today. Look to His creation and learn from it, and praise Him for the birds of the air. You know, these days of anxiety and trouble and fear and headlines that are constantly coming at us that can tend to make us fearful are a reminder that the end of all things is at hand. I'm not setting dates when I say that. I'm quoting the scripture, 1 Peter 4:7. The end of all things is at hand, Peter wrote toward the end of his life, a long time ago by our measurement of time. But the scripture says, no, the end of all things is at hand. When we who are created with eternity in our hearts, when we see things from a couple, 3,000, 4,000 years from now, we'll see that the end of all things was at hand. When we've been there 10,000 years, we've no less days to sing God's praise, the old song used to say. And I remember an old timer in our church when I was a kid, and he would always, when we'd sing that song, he would always make request, could we change that 10,000 to 10 million? Well, yeah, you can. When we've been there 10 million years, we've no less days to sing God's praise. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. This drama we call history is coming to a close. Jesus said, I'll be back. And in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound mind and sober judgment for the purpose of prayer. You know, if ever we need to devote ourselves to prayer, it is now in these days when we can see the clouds on the horizon. We can see that the end of all things is drawing near. Each day draws us one day closer to the day the Lord will come and end history as we know it. What a day that will be. In the meantime, He doesn't say take it easy or hunker down. He says the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Pray today. Pray with zeal. Pray with joy. pray with certainty that the one who promised to come back will come back. Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote in his first epistle, chapter 4, verse 7, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer." But he didn't stop there. He said, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins." I'm coming back, Jesus said. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. So it's a twofold exhortation. The end of time draws near. The Lord is coming back. Pray and be fervent in your love for one another. Jesus said, "This is how they'll know you're my followers, if you have love for one another. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. By this all men will know that you're followers of mine, disciples of mine, by your love for one another." No wonder Peter says, above all, first priority, don't forget this. If you forget everything else, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. In your marriage, in your church, in the workplace, love doesn't keep track of sin. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love disregards that slight that happened to you. Love doesn't keep track of the offense of your brother or your sister against you. No, love covers a multitude of sins. When we realize how much God forgave us, he tells us, you know, love one another as I have loved you. And when he puts it in that perspective, you just say, wow, love does cover a multitude of sins. Christ loved me when I was a sinner, when I was his enemy, when I was helpless, when I was ungodly. Love covers a multitude of sins. His love is divine love. And that's the kind of love we're to have for one another. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, pray and be fervent in your love for one another. There's one more exhortation that I want to draw out tomorrow on this thought, that the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, there's a third exhortation. I'll bring it to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled Daily Devotionals, a short break from our series through the book of Genesis. We're excited at Southwest Bible Church to be able to minister to our community through Adventure Camp. It's an all-day themed camp for kids K through 5th grade, meeting all summer long. For more information or to register online, look us up on the web at adventurecampkids.org or give Southwest Bible a call at 503-524-7000. During this COVID-19 outbreak, we're all doing many things differently than before. Nearly all of us, it seems, have switched over to online resources, whether that be simply more time listening to the radio or worshiping online through live streams. And we're thankful that you've chosen to listen to us on this station, and we invite you to downtownbible.org to download or listen to any program or subscribe to our daily podcast. We want to remind you that during this time, the Wednesday gathering at the Portland Art Museum is still on hold. We'll keep you informed as to when the closure is lifted. If you don't have a church home in the area, Pastor Scott would love to invite you to join us for our live online Sunday worship service at Southwest Bible Church. That's each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. You can find us live on YouTube by searching for SW Bible Live, or go to swbible.org and click on Live Stream. We also simultaneously broadcast the service live on the radio on True Talk 800 AM. This ongoing crisis has caused shortfalls in finances for this ministry. Would you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? It's only through the generous gifts of our listeners that we're able to continue broadcasting on this station. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
I think it's very instructive for us when God puts things in kind of a real simple way. He says, look, the end of all things is at hand. Pray, be fervent in your love for one another, and serve one another. Each of us have received a special gift. Every Christian is gifted. We have a spiritual gift, and we're to employ it in serving not ourselves, but one another. Pray, love, serve. Great little three-point outline for our response to the truth that Jesus Christ is coming back soon. The end of all things is at hand. Pray. Devote yourselves to prayer.
Join us again next time as we continue this short break from our series through the book of Genesis. Pastor Scott will continue to encourage us with more daily devotionals. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.